in our faith living, we are bound by a lot of sins and unrighteousness. So when we are being accused too much, this is also possible. So when we talk about having mercy and empathy, we have to understand that when a person is in brokenness and suffering, they are being oppressed. So they just let loose and they just sin. They cannot bear with the temptation. And when this happens, maybe we will be more understanding toward that person. And up to a point, we even treat his sin lightly. So we didn't care too much about the person's unrighteousness. So today we have to understand what is meant by unrighteousness. Because if we do not understand unrighteousness clearly and correctly, then sin will secretly hide and enter our lives to do destructive work. And then we will have very obvious sin, guilt, and shame. And then what we are afraid is not the sin, but the shame that comes with it. So, do men fear the shame or the sin? So sometimes we sinners, we just think it's okay to sin as long as nobody knows. So if we do not go back to think about why is there shame, then we are not solving the problem at its roots. So we only have the superficial and we will be hypocritical. So when we are struck by sin, and because of the outward matter, we will fall into a state of self-pity and self-groaning and we will feel inferior, and we just think about what is oppressing me, and we think about we need to have love and mercy, and then on the contrary, we just incline toward having mercy and love and getting comfort, and as a result, we take it lightly to administer righteous justice to the wrong. So why are people broken? Why will we be accused? And why will we fall into a self-pity state? And why are we always aggrieved by unrighteous matters? And where do all these things come from? So many a times, we men only think about the source or think about it coming from human authority. So many people in the world, they just think that as long as we talk about authority, we do not like that topic. So recently, Russia had this war with Ukraine. And so many people, so many countries, they are inclined toward Ukraine because those with power and authority, like Russia, they are like the oppressor. I'm not saying that I'm supporting Russia, but we must have a very correct overview to be objective. So when we talk about authority, so if we are being oppressed and we see that many people are under oppression, then we will think that the oppressed should be the one to receive mercy and the oppressor will be at the wrong. And so we do not like authority. So people will think about having freedom so that they can express or they can acquire what they want. So gradually, we will think that what humans need is security, is safety, is comfort. So let me say one thing for you to understand better. Many a times, sometimes when we are too accused, when we are too convicted of our sins and our sins are too obvious, so if we receive certain liberation, like Jesus, He revealed His grace and His mercy, and then we have more mercy on people to liberate them, of course, we will see liberation. So if you have the foundation of love and righteousness, holiness and righteousness, but if you do not have this foundation of holiness and righteousness, you do not know what is holy, unholy, what is righteous, unrighteous. If you do not have that foundation, and then you just talk about want to have safety, security, and comfort, then it will be more and more messy. So sometimes as a shepherd, now shepherds will tend to want to comfort people, do not want people to be too accused, want people to have more liberation so that people can know that God loves them, so that they can quickly run to follow God. But when I empathize with people being busy because they have work, because they have things to be busy about, and because of this, I stopped challenging the person and I thought he will be liberated in his time and he will be strengthened gradually and hopefully he will pursue God all the more. But I realized that often this is not the case. Because humans indeed have a sinful nature. So because humans, we are inclined to receiving security, safety, comfort. We do not want to do more or pursue more. So in our situation, if we find comfort and liberation, after that, we will not want to seek more. We will not want to come out from our comfort zone. What we will think about is, I want people to support me. I want people to give me the assurance. And then we will slowly look out for who are the ones who support us. And then we will give in to them and we'll like them. And then, slowly, we want to control things. And then we start to oppress people. And then we became the oppressor because we want people to give in to us and give us what we want. So this is actually happening in the world. So people who are being oppressed and after they got the liberation, they themselves became the oppressor. Maybe they didn't use violence to oppress, but they use a lot of things to demand from people, from others. So we have to understand that all these problems came from sin. So we must be able to discern what is sin and discern the truth. So we must prevent things from getting messy and so that we won't distort reality. We have to understand that sin is a real thing. And we have to understand that what we need is none other than, what we need is not human factors, but we need God. And if we need God to support us, the important thing is between us and God, no sin should stand between us. So if anyone, they criticize us too much, it's not good. But if that is true, we must thank God for it. Because if our life has a clear conscience, we can come before God boldly. Even if we go through certain tribulations and hardships, who will redress our grievances for us? It will be God. Because God's power is the highest, the most in the world. And so we can face everything boldly and confidently, without fear. And so we will be set apart from the world. And so we have to be pure. So in history, we saw the church was under great attacks. The church was attacked by what humans want. So those in authorities also attacked the church. But if we know that the church needs God's voice and God's truth, then even if there are other things oppressing the church, be it from political authorities or whichever, or certain things that are not right, we will not just be oppressed and hurt, but we will raise ourselves up. We will have the courage that does not come from men, but from God. So if at your work, your boss, without any reason, just scolded you, oppressed you, so you feel very aggrieved, so what to do? If you are at fault and the boss did that, then maybe he's a bit overdoing it. But if you have indeed done something wrong and the boss rebuked you, you should accept it. Because that is righteousness. But if you have no wrong, then God will be on your side. You just be patient to wait upon God. God will redress your grievances for you. But if you indeed have certain wrong, God will discipline those whom He loves. So what about those whom God does not love? And what if they keep on sinning and oppressing others? The Bible tells us that God will discipline those whom He loves. But those whom God does not love and those who cannot repent, they do not love the truth, those people, God may even permit them and leave them and let them remain as they are. But we can just wait and see, because slowly we will realize that as God permits them, they themselves will encounter destructive matters. And so that is the testimony of us believers. So we must not think that we just want some comfort in our oppression. We just want a way out and then we discard righteousness. Do not do that. Because what we need is to be able to stand before God boldly, to receive God's love. So God is holy and righteous and loving. So Jesus came to the world. He's not just inclined toward love, but He came first of all to redeem and atone for sin. So He stands on the side of righteousness. If Jesus didn't come to remove sin and evil with His blood, then how can we face the wrath of God? So we must understand clearly our relationship with God. So we are under authority before God and men, but all we need to face is God and do right before God, and God will redress our grievances for us. And we have to also understand what is meant by sin, what is meant by unrighteous matters. And so today we will try to understand more. When we know all the unrighteousness in this world, then in our heart, we will produce a kind of fear. Fear what? Fear God. And we will not anyhow stir up all this sin and things of authorities. Because in God's time, God will deal with all the authorities and turn them back to Him. So it's not for us to do unless God opens doors. So in this world, we keep seeing that those with authority, other than Jesus? Everyone holding powers, political authorities, every businessman, you ask yourself, do businessmen, are there totally righteous businessmen who are totally honest, even Christians? How many people can be righteous enough? So the higher position you are in terms of authority, you have to understand that there's certain reality you cannot escape. But as we understand it more, we will understand better and better that we need God and God's authority. We need to rely on God. And when we understood the forces of darkness in our heart, we will have the hope. We will have another kind of peace. It's not the peace that comes from your liberation, but you understood the system of the world's power and authorities. And so you will get an objective peace. So our peace does not come from men, but from God's truth, how God's truth informs us. So let's read Matthew chapter 21. And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" So the other gospel tells us that it's not just chief priests and the elders, but also the scribes. Verse 24, Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things." So they wanted to trap Jesus. But Jesus will not be entrapped. But Jesus wanted them to know their sin, and so that they could understand where his authority come from. So verse 25, "The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from men?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then do you not believe him?' But if we say from men, we are afraid of a crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So last week, Pastor mentioned that those who are in authority, it's not that they do not fear anything. What they are fearful of is the people. Then verse 27, so they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So Jesus answered them. In this indirect reply, Jesus already gave them the answer. So in terms of authorities and powers, so there is this political games we observe from here. So it's not that we are to be engaged in political games, but we must know that there are such things. And so we have to rely on the Lord, rely on the Lord's righteousness and provision. So first, Jesus was questioned by the chief priests and scribes and elders when he was preaching. So he met unrighteous matters. So they are opposing him while he was preaching. So they themselves did not want to receive his words, but they also want to prevent others from receiving his words. So back then in the synagogues, those Jewish leaders, they were leading. So they should by right know how to discern what is righteous, what came from God, but they did not care about this. They only wanted to attack Christ. They actually should introduce Messiah to all people, but on the contrary, they opposed him. So they have not been considering the holiness of Jesus. So Matthew chapter 21, if you read the whole chapter, at the beginning, when Jesus was entering Jerusalem, He rode a donkey into Jerusalem, and everyone praised him, Hosanna, this is the son of David, he should be praised. And so they praised Jesus. But Jesus did not seek the approval of men. On the contrary, he went straight to the temples, because the temple is a place to edify human souls. So why do we come to church? We come to church in order to be edified in our souls, because we want to receive the grace of God. And after receiving God's grace together, then we will graciously treat each other, edify one another. But when Jesus came to the temple, he saw their business being carried out. This is supposed to be a house of prayer, but it becomes a place where people did trading and businesses. So he was very angry, so he overturned the tables. So the chief priests, the scribes, why were they angry? Because they were the one who earned from the renter of the temple. So they, as a result, they opposed Jesus. And so Jesus convicted the scribes, chief priests, and elders of their sins, because Jesus stood on the side of righteousness. So he drove out those people doing business from the temple. So sometimes Jesus could be fierce. Sometimes in our prayers, Jesus may also convict us of our sins, and then we felt the guilt. And so if you are indeed sinful and you receive the guilt, it's all right. But at the same time, you also must know that you need to cleanse your guilt and sin. You need to repent. When you come before God, He will cleanse you of all your unrighteousness. So God stands on the side of righteousness. So these chief priests, scribes, and elders, they should know, they should understand holiness and what is righteousness. But what they wanted is money and other things. And Jesus actually wake up very early, and then he was very hungry. He saw a fig tree, and he wanted to find a fruit from the fig tree to eat. Then he cursed the tree because he couldn't find any fruit. And so the disciples asked him why. And he said that, everything in the world belonged to him. So he is the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. So he's not afraid of anything. So in all creation, there's nothing he's afraid of, but everything should actually serve him and delight in him. So Jesus found no food, and then he entered the temple again, because in the entire Jerusalem, but yet in the temple of Jerusalem, that's the place where there are more of God's sheep. So he still entered the temple. So Jesus is holy and he's with pure motive. But why was man unable to see this? So when we have such a pure-hearted preacher, he's willing to cleanse himself to serve God. This is indeed a treasure. But yet, people cannot see it. So, the holiness of Jesus, can't people see it? Do we just ignore the pure-heartedness of the preacher and we only want the outward authority? So, in this world, people do not look at things of the heart. What they look at is whether the tasks are finished, whether the work is done. And so we must be very careful. So sometimes when we are very careful, we are just happy as long as the tasks are done. And we don't care about people. Some people are suffering. Some people, they need compassion. Some people need concern. So you should put down things you are busy with. No matter how busy you are, you have to put down. But this world is not like this. So we have to be careful. How can we say we do not want to shepherd? How can you say that I do not like to shepherd? How can we say things like this? How can we say that? Jesus give you love. How can you say that I don't want to love? How can you say that? So when you understood what is meant by shepherding and caring for people, then true peace will come to you. You want peace? You want true freedom? So where does true freedom come from? From the point where you start to understand the cruelty of the world, and you start to put down yourself, and you care for others, then your peace and joy will come from heaven. So why do we do so much busy things and administrative tasks? If it's not to help people and edify others and ourselves, then what we are doing is just for vanity. And then you just labor in vain. So over here, Jesus taught. But the scribes and chief priests opposed Jesus, and this is in fact the work of the devil, to oppose the preacher. So sometimes, if you are interrupted when you are preparing a sermon, this is really troublesome because you need to focus, you need to pray. But here Jesus, he turned everything around. So chapter 21, verse 23. So and when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" So he stopped his teaching. And in fact, the Jewish leaders tried to stop him from preaching. So it is important to know that one's calling and commission is from God. So it's very important for us to know our calling and commission is from God. But Jesus' majesty had been attested by so many miracles. So if you want to know a person's calling, whether it's from God and his commission is by God, you need two things to affirm that. So some people ask, how do I know I'll be called by God or I am called by God? Whether it's a preacher, deacon, elders, how do you know you're being called by God? So first, God needs you. There is God's voice calling you. There is this need. So you see, the church needs, people's needs. And then second, you also need to go through a vow to indicate that you are willing. So you take a vow to say that I'm willing to take up this position and be responsible. And this vow is done before men, so to prepare a person's heart. So if you have God's voice and yet you're not willing, there's a lot of hesitations in your heart, then that is not real calling. And so if you are willing but there's no such need, then it's also without God's calling. So in our church, so in the beginning of May, we will have this welcome party for new members of our church. So in that session, you will meet our overseers, pastor, elders, preachers, even deacons. So those people, they had the calling from God and they have taken their vow before God. And so they have this responsibility. So if you want to become a church member, you also need to commit yourself. You also need to promise or you also need these two things. You need God's voice calling you and you're willing. You also need to express your commitment. So you need these two things also. You need God's voice coming to you, not your own voice. But you yourself also need to respond. You also need to put in your efforts and contribution. So this calling that comes from God is very important. So the Jewish leaders asked Jesus for a reason. So they need the affirmation. But Jesus' majesty had already been attested to by so many miracles. So he already healed the lame, the blind, and so he must be the creator God. And he's the Lord of life. And that's why he could do all these things. And so why did they ask this question? So they purposely ignore what was well known in order to cover their own infidelity. So they just claim that, Jesus, you had no authority because you didn't come from us. We didn't lay our hands on you. You were not ordained by our joint discussions and recognition and our own commendation. I talk about your goodness. You talk about my strength. Even if I commended you, Jesus, you wouldn't commend us. So the Jewish leaders disliked Jesus because Jesus was not from one of them. So the Jewish leaders thought that they were the legal overseers of the temple. But if they were indeed the overseers, then they should have considered that Jesus, he had performed and he had the evidences of miracle performing. But yet they questioned Jesus, and Jesus didn't answer them directly because it's too obvious. So it's like someone say, obviously, I am willing to listen to you, but in private, they did something else. So how can you respond to this group of people who on the surface say they will submit to you, but behind your back, they did the opposite things? So it's very difficult. So in our life church branches, sometimes we cannot tell the instruction to people below us is because what they say and what they do is different. But if what they say and what they do tallies, we know that they respect the church instruction. So we have to pray. Then number four, they questioned the authority of Jesus presumptuously and pretentiously. Who gave you this authority? So you receive the praise of people and you want to control the temple. You drove out those people doing business in the temple. You rob us of our rental. And you seem to be preaching a new teaching. Now, Jesus never taught anything new. Because what Jesus mentioned was already been preached in the Old Testament. But the Jewish leaders, they lost the Word of God. So they questioned Jesus where his authority came from. Was it from the chief priests or from God? Show us your certification. Let us see your accreditation. So in other words, they want to trap Jesus. In fact, they already knew. Because a Pharisee among them in John chapter 3, we read that this Pharisee came to look for Jesus in the middle of the night, and he told Jesus that we know that you came from God. They already knew, but they covered this truth in their hearts. They oppressed this truth. Now, a lot of people know the truth. God's word say, we all know, humans know there is the truth, but they suppress the truth. So if a person wants to attack, they use all kinds of methods. So we will say, is testimony useful? We have the witness and testimony at home, at the workplace. What's the point of that? It is indeed useful. Although the testimony cannot resist or destroy all the attacks, but your testimonies will convict their conscience of guilt, and you will give them a clear evidence saying that we are living before God. So we have the heart which is bold and confident to seek God's help, and that is important. So when other problems happen, then we can preach the gospel. So our personal testimony is important. And the testimony of joy is good before God. But you must know that testimony is not perfect. It doesn't mean that if you have a good testimony, you will destroy all spiritual persecution. But it is still important to have a testimony, because then people will see that they are wrong in oppressing you. And then fifth, they also suppress the truth by insinuation. And their motive was to ensnare and entangle Jesus. So they abuse their authority. So that Jesus could be ensnared and entrapped. Now, if Jesus refused to answer them, then they will say, yeah, I know you dare not answer the question. And when you dare not answer the question, that means you admit that you don't know where your authority comes from. And so it must be from men, not from God. But if Jesus said, no, my authority comes from God, then they will also say that you are like pleading. So if you have authority, why do you want to defend for yourself? If you come from God, then you come from God. Why do you need to debate and defend for yourself as if you are pleading humans' understanding and empathy? So whichever is the case, it will aim to trap Jesus. So are human words powerful? So from these few verses, we learn a few lessons, because human words are indeed powerful. If someone really wants to attack you, they can use all kinds of words. If a person is not upright, he can do anything. So what to do? We do not need to worry too much, because this world is like this. If you are being tormented, you must know that you are living in the world and it is like this. So you need not be too worried. Of course, you will have grievances, but you have to know that the world is like this, because the world is sinful. And the Bible already mentioned so clearly. Everything keeps changing. Even Jesus faced such questioning and criticism. So same thing for us. So if Jesus seems to be defending himself that, yes, my authority comes from God, then they will say that, did your authority truly come from God? And then they will accuse Jesus of blasphemy. And so this is really something very dark. when I see the situation between Ukraine and Russia, when I read the newspaper, there's a lot of darkness inside. A lot of internal conflicts. They try to balance the whole thing, but we all know that this war is not so easy to cease. When I was younger, I keep wondering, why are there such mad things? Just ceasefire. Just send the police to catch all the bad guys. So even the police is engaged in this political struggle and system. So these things happen in the whole world. So Jesus, he did not want to directly answer the Jewish leaders. So we must learn from Jesus. When people question you, do not just feel aggrieved. Because when you're aggrieved, then you yourself will doubt that you are a child of God. And you will lose the dignity. And you're oppressed by their authority. You shouldn't be like this. So Jesus showed us how important it is for us to be right before God. So verse 24. Jesus answered them, I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I will also tell you by what authority I do these things. So the perception of unrighteousness is very necessary. So when we see unrighteousness and we are afraid of them and we don't want to think about it, so that shouldn't be the way. So when you sense the darkness, it is very normal for us humans. So it is right and necessary for us humans to perceive unrighteousness. So it's not that we are just going to be bullied foolishly by people. We shouldn't, but we need to sense it. We need to know that Christians, we are sheep. And so the sheep cannot become like wolves. So our wisdom comes from learning. So we must discern what is falsehood. So when you come to a church, you listen to a sermon, you must be able to discern that humans, we have our hypocritical side. And you have to discern whether a person is preaching the fake things. So, when we talk about authority, it's not that authority or politics are wrong. But human sin do harm to the political system. So, when humans grow in number, you need politics to manage, to strike a balance. And there will be sins and you need to tackle the sins. So, there's a need to manage. But whether it's in our office or at home, in the office, for example, there's this policy that the customer is always right. But sometimes you really feel like you have to praise and elevate the customer. So, do not just become lazy just because you think it's not right to adhere to the certain rules of the company. Because, so a sheep, you cannot become a wolf. Because you have the Word of God in your heart. And when you have the Word of God in your heart, then your conscience will restrain you. Because sometimes you want to do evil, you have this wisdom holding you back. And so you may easily lose wisdom. So how can you be shrewd as snakes and innocent as dove? How can you do that? So when you face a person with false, when you see a person who is pretentious, who is fake, and or you see some people, they are experiencing God in the wrong way, like too mystical, you know, these are wrong. But when you want to approach the person, it's not so easy. You can pick a few things to mention to the person, but how can we be shrewd as snakes and innocent as dove? In this area, you cannot be lazy to train yourself. To be shrewd as snakes and innocent as dove, in other words, this means you need the full gospel. You need to learn everything. You need to know everything. You need to know what is evil, what is God's righteousness, what is God's wisdom, and even human wisdom and human craftiness. You need to know a bit of everything. And when you learn in this manner, you will have more and more wisdom, and you will understand things better. You must not think it's very tough. You find it tough because of your sin. But learning the Bible is not tough. The difficulty of studying the Bible is worth it. So you have to know it. If you want to learn something, even if you learn worldly knowledge, which of it is not tough? Which of you during exam from primary school to secondary to JC to university, no one student will say that the exam is easy. Everyone will say it's very tough and difficult. Even if you learn worldly things, it's like this. How about for spiritual things? So you learn, you understood, and you become wiser. So the first will be last, the last will be first. So Jesus challenged them in turn, because Jesus, he was wise. So since he was young, when he was 12 years old, he already learned in the temple, although he was God, but he kept learning since young. In all things, he kept learning. And he thought through in many things. He's not becoming a philosopher, but he just learned about God's affairs. So Jesus challenged them in turn, because they despised the prophet of God, John the Baptist, and by this to convict them their pretense of ignorance. So let's look at chapter 21, verse 25. So the baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from men? So they despise the righteous prophet of God. So they had another wrong, which is their pretension. So pretension is a very powerful weapon in terms of authority. So Jesus' question was not skimming at all. For if they answered his question, it would answer theirs. And then they will know where the authority comes from. Because Jesus stood on the side of righteousness. So those who should be rebuked. So if the scribes and chief priests, if they repent, then they will understand. So Jesus is actually providing them an opportunity. John the Baptist didn't perform any miracle, but everyone on earth will acknowledge that even the chief priests will be able to tell that John the Baptist came from God. So if they admit then John the Baptist mentioned that his goal was to open the way for the Messiah. Because John the Baptist, he witnessed for Christ. And so the Jewish leaders refused to answer Jesus' question. In fact, Jesus was guiding them to the right answer, but they refused. So fourth, Jesus will not provide proof of his authority to those who are prejudiced against the most important conviction. Why? because they are already deviated. So just now we read, you must not give the holy things to the dogs or pearls to the pigs. So God has wisdom so that those who suppress the truth, they will be caught by their own craftiness. So Jesus didn't do much things more. But up to now, he's still hoping that these chief priests and scribes and elders can repent. So we just do what we need to do. Okay, fifth, Jesus did not protect the crafty and he will speak for the truth. So Jesus didn't beat about the bush or distort the truth. Those were the tactics of the oppressor. So we may not follow Jesus exactly in how he questioned back his questioner, but no matter how we question back, but we must never throw away the truth. We must never lie or never stand on the side of unrighteousness. On the contrary, we need to speak for the truth. Of course, if there are certain unrighteous matters, if it's not too major, you don't have to pick out another person's fault. But for example, if you want to come to church, you want to be nearer to the Bible. Because if you do not understand, then how can you bring salvation to your family members? So these are important things. So how can you preach the gospel? How can people around you believe in Jesus? How can you become a vessel of God? These are important things. And if this is important, you must start to know that some things you cannot refrain from speaking. Things that you should speak, you should speak. And when you speak, you also need to protect your own identity, your own dignity. If you are without dignity, then how can people believe in the gospel you preach? And six, we do not have the liberty to either invent doctrine or sacrament. In the church, we only have two sacraments. First is the Holy Communion. Second is the baptism. Only two. We shouldn't invent other things. We also do not have the liberty to introduce new doctrines. But the modern churches, they had a lot of invention. Or you can have Holy Communion at home. Did the Bible say that? Some people did just invent the theory that Holy Communion is to bring you physical healing. The Bible didn't say this. And holy baptism. Now, Roman Catholics, they have a lot of other sacraments, but we have no time to go into that. So whether it's doctrine or sacrament, we must not invent beyond what the Bible teaches. Although it has already become some traditions and culture of the modern churches, we must still go back to the Bible, whether the Bible says certain things. So we must not invent anything new because we do not have the liberty to invent. And third main point, they knew the truth but they did not want to admit it, and so they were caught in their own trap. So their reasoning was anti-Christ. So, in chapter 21, verse 25, and they discuss it among themselves, saying, if we say from heaven, so they discuss first. But their discussion is not ideal, because their discussion is like they study and they try to have some wisdom, but in fact, they only have one motive to, and that is to oppose Jesus. So those in authority, what they are trying to do? They are just thinking about their own interests because they fear shame more than they fear sin. So if we say the authority is from heaven, he will say to us, why then did you not believe him? So they only seek more earthly comforts. So on earth, what people fear more about is the shame, not the sin itself. But we must... So they have reversed the order. So a lot of people... A lot of people, they are not afraid of sin. And so they oppose what they knew is true and good. But we still thank God because they are at least afraid of shame, so they are at least restrained, and so they will not overdo their sin. So shame is also given by God for us to feel it. So we must not just think that all kinds of shames are not good, because sometimes if we are more objective to understand this, God created the world and he ordained all the feelings, for example, worries, shames. All these things are ordained to point us to God. We must quickly come before God because there must be some sinful roots. So only Jesus on the cross can cleanse us. So the elders and Jewish leaders, they hated shame, and so they even preferred lie. So they started to be hypocritical. And then third, they considered their own safety, they're afraid of the people, and they studied how to make people fear them. So those people with authority, political powers, they keep thinking. Maybe Putin has been always thinking because he's someone very attuned toward political sense. He's very good with politics. Like French president called him, he's not shaken. He answered him. So the French president knew that the war will continue. So they knew. They are still afraid of the people. So chapter 21, verse 26, it says that, but if we say from men, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet. So they are still scheming. So they had this gratitude toward John the Baptist, because John the Baptist pointed them to repent of their sins. So these Jewish leaders, they were afraid of the people. But the Jewish leaders were not truly reverent toward John the Baptist. So the Jewish leaders, they hid their own perceptions and they did not want people to know. So they chose to sin in lying. They chose ignorance so that no one can prove them false. And chapter 21, verse 27. So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." So the shame they receive is the shame of ignorance. They should know, but they didn't know. So when they were quiet, they were actually in fact lying. So they in fact knew that John the Baptist's authority came from God, but why did they say they do not know? So that they could cover themselves. So they were quiet. So some people will say that, weren't you denying the truth? They may just give excuse to say that at that time, I'm just afraid, or no. So they just defend themselves for some reason, or they just say that I have other meanings, because if a person is silent, he can provide a lot of other excuses later on. So this silence is their scheme. So therefore, Christ avoided the snare they laid for him because they didn't stand on the side of righteousness. And so Jesus justified himself in refusing to gratify them. So verse 27, and Jesus said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." So they are not accountable to their own conscience. So towards such people, how can you explain or talk to them? If you want to tell them the truth, if they do not believe, then you know it's very hard to tell them any more gospel. So they only care about their own feelings, but they do not care about the truth. Now, sometimes we have emotions, but we must not base on our emotions. We must go back to the truth. So these Jewish leaders, they suppress the truth. So Jesus told them, "Since you do not love the truth, then I will not give you the truth. Since you do not want salvation, then I will not give you salvation." Salvation is not given to those who do not want it. So those who want it, those who seek God, then they will be given the truth and salvation. So those who unrighteously suppress the truth they know will not be able to further the knowledge of the truth they desire to pursue. So all these scribes and elders, they are managing the temple. They also teach. But however much they try to learn, they won't be able to learn it. And whatever they taught will surely be wrong. If we truly want to know the truth, then many a times we need to know that truth is not just a feeling. You must not suppress any truth, and you're willing to stand on the side of the truth. You're willing to understand the truth and learn the truth in all things, then God will naturally help you understand more truth. Do not be subjective. We must be objective and keep learning. Now, humans will be inclined toward wrong. So that's why we have to keep learning. And we cannot be overconfident. We have to keep learning. Jesus, since young, he had been learning. And if that's the case for Jesus, how can we say that we have already learned it? So we have to keep learning. And God will help us grow as we learn, so that we can understand better and better the truth. And you realize that when you know the truth and you hang out with people, people can sense it. You also will learn how to care for people. and how to give them very pointed answers. And you also not waste time or be consumed by a person. So a lot of things we must keep learning. I believe that Jesus, when he lived on earth, why he could shepherd so many people, that's because he mastered the truth and he knew how to rely on God. Let's pray. Lord, please use today's word and sermon to comfort us so that we know that those with authority, how did they accuse Jesus of his authority? We know that we live on this earth. We have to continue to understand the evil forces and understand how to rely on God's righteousness and pure authority, because God, your authority is real. Lord, we commit to you. We pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.